There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Radio Free Conscience, your bi-weekly look at the world of grassroots and community media. My name is Paul Rees-Mandel, I'm your host. Coming up, we'll hear about what's new at the Pacifica Foundation as an interim national board takes on the role of reforming and democratizing the embattled National Progressive Radio Network. We'll also hear about a new labor radio news service coming online, as well as news of importance to people who care about community and grassroots media. All that coming up in just a moment. Here's some communications news headlines. The Washington Post reported Friday that a bipartisan group of federal lawmakers are calling on the FCC to step up enforcement of some key parts of the 1996 Telecommunications Act. Specifically, lawmakers want the FCC to adopt strict standards for ensuring that local telecommunications carriers, such as SBC and Ameritech, open up their networks to competitors to offer services like broadband internet to consumers. The landmark Telecommunications Act was a result of significant negotiations between the telecommunications industry, regulators, and Congress, and resulted in significant deregulation of many aspects of that industry. In exchange, local monopolies, like the Baby Bells, agreed to make their local loops accessible to new competing carriers. By all accounts, the Bells have dragged their feet in complying with this requirement, leading some critics to charge that the local monopolies have stunted the rollout of affordable broadband internet service to consumers and small businesses. On January 17th, the Federal Communications Commission announced that it approved a plan to reorganize the agency's bureaus. Under the plan, the current Mass Media Bureau, which oversees broadcast radio and television, and the Cable Services Bureau, which oversees cable television service, are to be combined into a single media bureau. Other changes include the creation of a wireline competition bureau that will concern itself with the market in wired communications, such as telephone and data lines. The FCC says that the changes are aimed at combining like duties for the purpose of decreasing costs and increasing efficiency. The National Treasury Employees Union, Local 209, has approved the reorganization, which requires congressional approval in order to be put into effect. The new interim Pacifica National Board met over the weekend of January 11th through 13th. At that meeting, the new board majority of reformers made more progress in restoring the Progressive Radio Network as a packed house audience looked on and participated. Amongst a resolution made during the meeting, the board decided to appoint fired former Pacifica news director Dan Coughlin as the interim executive director of Pacifica. It endorsed a recommendation to fire the current station manager of Pacifica's New York City station, WBAI, which has seen mass firings of staff and volunteers in the last year, while deciding to rehire those who had been axed. Also, the majority decided to fire the law firm retained by the former Pacifica board majority. Later in the program, we'll hear from Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez, who recently rejoined that program and who has been a leader in the movement to reform Pacifica. He will give us an update on what's happening at the network. And that's some news headlines and communications for the grassroots and the community. People, keep on learning. You're listening to Radio Free Conscience, your biweekly look at the world of grassroots and community media. I'm your host, Paul Riesmandel. On the last edition of Radio Free Conscience, I did a year-end wrap-up program with John Anderson, the radio guide for About.com. Due to time constraints, I wasn't able to play a portion of this discussion, where John talks about a labor radio news program he's working on. Here's John to tell us a little bit more about the Workers' International News Service.
It's a very interesting show. It was something that was actually started through the University of Wisconsin School for Workers. The concept as it is right now is called WINS, which stands for Workers' Independent News Service. And what we're trying to do with this show is basically package a news program in a format that will appeal to the broadest number of potential stations, non-commercial, community, college, and commercial, to see if they'll carry it. The idea being that if we can somehow package this in a way that's palatable to program directors and the like, maybe we can start to get news that is of interest to working people on the air. The best analogy that I like to bring up is if you watch headline news on CNN, or you basically watch any TV program, any TV news program, there's a stock report,
mm-hmm.
or there's a business section, and it's all about corporate earnings. It's all about stock prices up or down, and it's all about what CEO has done what, and who is saying this. There aren't too many reports about employment law, rights workers have, union type news, things that are of concern to you and me, because we're not stockholders and we're not mm-hmm. CEOs, and we're trying to bring some of that to the airwaves. And we're actually working on this program at the UW. Right now it's myself and another producer, and we're assembling daily headlines shows. We're encoding them on MP3, and we are going to distribute them on the internet. So subscribing stations will download the shows daily, put them into their playlists, and let them roll. I never thought that I would get back into radio journalism after leaving corporate media at the end of 2000. And it's been almost a year, and here I am doing the same thing, but at least this time it's for a good cause. So, it's a project with some prospects,
mm-hmm.
but it's an area that really hasn't been explored by anybody else.
That was producer John Anderson talking about the new Workers' International News Service being produced by the University of Wisconsin Extension and their School for Workers. Next up, we'll hear from Juan Gonzalez, who has been a vocal leader in the movement to reform the Pacifica Network, the nation's only progressive radio network. Gonzalez was co-host of the popular Pacifica news program Democracy Now! Until resigning in January 2001 in protest of a crackdown by Pacifica management at New York station WBAI, where the program was produced. Gonzalez rejoined the program on January 7th, when it returned to the Pacifica network after having been in exile since last August. Democracy Now! Returned to the Pacifica network after a consent agreement between the former Pacifica management and reformers, who put into place an interim board of directors charged with the task of redemocratizing the governance of the 50-year-old progressive radio network. In this interview, produced by the KPFT program Progressive Forum, Gonzalez gives an update on the changes made at the most recent Pacifica National Board meeting and discusses the challenges that lie ahead for the embattled network.
I think our listeners are pretty well tuned into some of the background, but do you want to briefly talk about what's happened recently and why we now have you on, why we're able to have you on?
Well, I think obviously the most critical event that happened was the recent meeting in New York City of the new interim Pacifica board, which emerged out of the settlement of various lawsuits and a boycott against the Pacifica network by listeners around the country who wanted to see basic reforms in the way the network was governed and also in terms of accountability to the listeners. And as a result of that, a new board was installed in late December and had its first face-to-face meeting this past weekend. And it was involved in pretty dramatic changes. It had already decided to lift a gag rule that prevented any kind of discussion of some of the pressing issues affecting Pacifica on the air. It also restored close to 30 programmers who had been banned or fired from the New York affiliate WBAI, and also fired the former station manager there, Bob Daughtry, who had been involved in some of these purgings of staff for no cause and without any kind of due process. So it reversed all of those firings and ordered everyone restored who had been fired in the last about 14 months at BAI. The board also restored another fired producer, Larry Bensky, who had been a longtime national reporter for Pacifica at the KPFA station in Berkeley. And it also sought to try to deal with the situation in Houston. It accepted the resignation or noted the resignation of Garland Ganter, the station manager there in your city, as well as attempted to try to bring some sort of resolution of a conflict between the local advisory board in Houston, which has not been meeting regularly or doesn't even have the required number of members that it should have pursuant to the regulations of the Coalition for Public Broadcasting. And it urged an attempt by that old advisory board and a new interim board that arose out of listeners who were trying to reform KPFT. It's urged them to have talks and try to merge the two into one over the next few weeks. And in addition, the board fired a high-priced Washington law firm, Williams & Connolly, that had been used by the previous board and was milking the network dry with legal bills, which I'd like to talk about a little later on. But basically, it fired that firm. This is the same firm. Greg Craig, the lawyer for this firm, is the same lawyer who defended Bill Clinton in his impeachment trial in the Senate, and also who represented the family of Elian Gonzalez in the infamous case in Florida, one of the most high-powered law firms in Washington. And Pacifica, a nonprofit foundation, was using this very expensive law firm to fight off the movement to reform the network's governance.
Now, one of the crucial elements, obviously, is the composition of this new board. The old board basically, you know, reeked of cronyism, and you had people in there who had no concept of the Pacifica mission. How's this new board going to be composed?
Well, this new board is actually composed overwhelmingly of reform-minded people who have at least a connection to or an understanding of the progressive movements in the United States, and from Houston, for instance, you have George Barnstone, who was actually named by the old local advisory board that had had so many problems, but George Barnstone voted with the reform majority throughout the weekend, as did Teresa Allen, who was named to the board by the reform movement. So there were two Houston representatives who acquitted themselves very well throughout the weekend. And even on the side of the minority now on the board who used to run the board previously, there is at least, for instance, Dick Gregory, well-known civil rights activist and comedian, who did not attend this weekend's board meeting, but who has already voted against his own group on some key issues. And the most difficult members of the board were the former mayor of Washington D.C., Marion Barry, who played, I would say, not a very progressive role in the debate over the weekend and sought to stop all kinds of reform efforts. But other than that, I'd say over two-thirds of the board, of the current new interim board, are people who really want to move Pacifica forward in a direction back to its mission, but also further ahead in terms of listener accountability to the listeners, and democracy and autonomy of the different stations within the network.
And those are important points, and I think they speak to the question of how we got here. I mean, what kind of problems led to activists in the five constituent cities organizing against Pacifica? And I think you kind of hit it on the head, this democracy and listener input. I mean, what do you see the mission now of this new board?
Well, as per the agreement that was reached, this new board will not only rewrite the Pacifica bylaws to make them more responsive to local stations, because one of the things that had been happening over the last few years is that Pacifica, the stations really arose as autonomous groups who were part of a network, but basically the national office responded to the needs of each individual station as well as to the local advisory boards. But over time, this group that hijacked control of the board sought to centralize everything in the national office in Washington, D.C. They increasingly took larger chunks of the overall income of the network. They increasingly centralized finances, dictated from above to the local stations, eliminated any involvement in oversight by the local advisory boards of the stations, and basically followed your normal corporate model in America today: centralized power, dictate everyone, and what we say goes. So part of this battle was to restore autonomy to the separate stations so they could manage their own finances and set their own priorities, and within those stations have the station staffs and management responsive to the listeners by having more advisory boards that have more influence. And even now, all the local advisory boards within a year will actually be elected by the listeners. There will actually be an election process established where anyone who is a listener sponsor to KPFT or any of the other Pacifica stations will also be able to vote on the members of the local advisory board, who will have much more influence at the station. So really it is an attempt to have each of the stations be more responsive to the grassroots, to the listeners, to the communities that they are supposed to be serving. One of the things that the Pacifica board said, that all of this information that the board the new board wants transparency in whether it's financial information, whether it's ratings, whether, as much as possible, that the listeners have a right to know. They're the ones who contribute 80-85% of the funds of the network, and they have a right to know how their money is being spent. I think that, I have confidence that the new board is sincere about this and will be demanding the most open possible situation in terms of reporting to the staffs as well as to the listeners.
Now, we all believe in local control and democratization, but what level of, let's say, influence do you think the national board is willing to exercise over issues like programming, the composition of the station? I mean, essentially, how are they going to facilitate this return to the Pacifica mission, where we have, you know, issue like affairs shows and shows which talk about politics and not simply honky tonk music all day?
Yeah, well, I think that my sense is that's a major commitment of the board. But again, they've only been in office now less than a month. They need to get key staff positions placed right there in Houston. You're going to have to get a new a permanent station manager, as well as several other positions that are. And I think it's going to take a little while. It's going to take at least a few months for everything to shake itself out. But I think that my sense is that there's a real commitment, because there were two stations in the network that really went in the direction of more and more music. That's the Washington, D.C. station, WPFW, and Houston. The other stations have stayed primarily still more oriented toward talk and politics and news. Both the Washington station and the Houston station had increased listenership because, hey, it's there's still a lot of people in America who'd rather listen to music than face the problems we have in the society. But that doesn't mean that because that's a reality, you then just move in that direction and you don't you go away from the mission of Pacifica. That's not to say that music is not important. It's a very important part of the cultural life of any community. But that if the cutting edge of the political stations are not the news, the analysis, the political discussion and debate, of what's going on, then the mission has really been lost.
And now earlier you mentioned there's a new executive director as well, Dan Coughlin, and this is a undersea change. You want to tell us a little bit about Dan's background and what we can expect out of him?
Well, Dan actually was one of the main day-to-day coordinators of the Pacific campaign of the boycotts for the last year, and before that he was the he had been the national news director of Pacifica, in charge of PNN News, and in fact he was forced out of that position and demoted by the old board because he dared to air a news report about a boycott, a one-day boycott that the affiliate stations of Pacifica, or about 50 or 60 community radio stations around the country that take Pacifica programming. They were upset, just as the listeners were, about directing to Pacifica. So one day a few years ago, all of these affiliates had a one-day boycott of Pacifica programming, and Dan said that's news and national news. And for doing that, he was summarily moved from his post as national news director. So he does have that background. He's familiar with the national operation of Pacifica since he worked there for a couple of years. He also was a producer, Democracy Now, several years ago. I guess about 3 or 4, maybe 4 years ago. And he was the producer with of the show back then. So he's got familiarity with the programming. He's a journalist, but he's also part of the reform movement, an integral part of the reform movement, and well respected by activists in all of the stations. And I think, but again, he's only an interim director because the new board appointed him for a 60-day period because they felt that they wanted to conduct a very well-organized national search for a new full-time executive director, and they wanted to advertise it, have people come in and be interviewed, and go through a legitimate process in hiring, something that Pacifica has not had for quite a while, so that they felt, however, that since the executive director who the interim had just resigned the week before then at the board meeting, a few days before the board meeting, that needed somebody in charge temporarily for the next couple of months while they conduct a search for a permanent director.
I think last Monday I got a bunch of, in the morning, a bunch of calls and emails saying, Amy's back on. So it's great to have Democracy Now back on, too. I mean, has that kind of sunk now, or ready to kind of get back to the old days? Or?
Yes. I've been on this week as well with her a couple of times, and it's been great to be back because it's such a terrific show, and it has such a low following around the country. But you know that even though KPFT wasn't listening to Amy and show for the last about 5 months, it has been heard all around the country because more than 50 community radio stations continued to play Democracy Now, as did KFA in Berkeley, the only Pacifica station that rebelled against the old national board, and continued to play the show despite the ban on the show by the rest of the network. And also the show is being aired on television on numerous public access cable systems, as well as on the Dish Network. If anyone has Dish satellite cable, they can also pick up Democracy Now every day on the Dish Network, although it's like a day later. Democracy Now has actually, during this period that it was banned from Houston and New York and Washington and Los Angeles, was actually picking up more and more listeners and viewers. So now that, of course, it's back in the big cities again, the influence of the show is once again on the rise.
That's wonderful. This is KPFT in Houston, the Progressive Forum, and our guest tonight is Juan Gonzalez, the co-host of Democracy Now! And the head of the Pacifica campaign. Just want to ask a couple more questions. First is the big one. I mean, we can't rest our laurels. What's the next step now in this struggle for democratization and listener influence?
Well, I think we actually in the campaign are meeting on this Thursday to do now about the listener boycott that we've been organizing for the last year. I individually feel that we should end the boycott, and we need to do now the opposite. Instead of cutting off funds to Pacifica, it's crucial now to begin raising as much money as we can and getting as many people to become list sponsors as possible. However, until we meet on Thursday at Pacifica campaign, a week from tonight, we don't have an official position yet, because there are some sections of the movement, like in Los Angeles and in Washington D.C., who still have the same old station managers and the same dictatorial management in place that existed before all these changes. And they're saying, hey, you know, over in New York you might have gotten some changes, and over in Houston you might have gotten rid of Garland and company, and in Berkeley things make great, but here in LA and Washington we don't see any changes on the air. So there's some sort of still discussion and debate as to whether the boycott should be called off completely or just at some stations, and we'll try to sort all that out in the next week and reach a consensus among the activists as to what should be done. But there's no doubt that very soon we're going to have to raise a lot of money to keep Pacifica on the air. And also, that's one thing, stable the finances of the network. The other thing we have to do is we have to begin a period of reconciliation among the staffs, because this conflict was an enormous emotional toll on people, and at almost all the stations the staffs became divided between those who were on one side and those who were on the other. And now that the changes have occurred, it's very important for a healing process to begin, for people to recognize that even though they have disagreed on the direction or what to do, you can't keep fighting. It's like, you know, after the Civil War, you know, you can't keep fighting the old war. You gotta, like, you have to now look to the future, and we're hopeful that in the reform movement there'll be no attempts to get revenge or to mistreat staff or paid or unpaid who were on one side or the other, that everyone will be treated fairly under the new administration. And then the final thing is that we have to move forward on the whole democratization of the network, which means we have to have elected advisory board. We have to have a process for those elections for people who want. In essence, what it will become is it'll become a process where people register to vote, and the way you register to vote is by becoming a listener sponsor, and then people run for office. And so there will have to be campaigns for the local advisory boards, and people have to put forth their programs on how they think KPFT or the other stations need to be changed, and how the programming needs to be changed, how the station's mission needs to be moved forward. And out of hopefully a healthy debate where all of the viewpoints are heard, listeners will choose who they want to sit on their local advisory boards, and those boards will have much more input than they've ever had before in the choosing of station managers, and on the programming and the various other things that go into making up a community radio station.
Six foot six above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take it to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation. The big sound from underground, another pirate station. We bring the truth to places truth is never heard before. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Dark
vision fly. You just heard Juan Gonzalez, co-host of Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, talking about the changes underway at the Pacifica Network. That interview comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Forum program on Pacifica's Houston station, KPFT. That brings to a close this edition of Radio Free Conscience. I'll be back in 2 weeks with more news and information. In the meantime, You can keep up on the world of grassroots and community media by going to www.mediageek.org. That's www.mediageek.org. You can also send comments on this program to me there at paul@mediageek.org. That's paul@mediageek.org.